And please join me in going to your Bibles, whether or not that's a hard Bible in your hand or on your phones. If you can, go with me to Psalm 24. Amen. In this hour, thank you, Sister Annette, for what you just shared about Thanksgiving. We have so much to give the Most High God praise for. I am indeed thankful for the bountiful blessings that He has faithfully and lovingly poured into my life. I'm so thankful for how He has blessed me with my awesome bride, Chiquita, and with my children, Elliot, Alexia, Sydney, and Alexandria. I am so grateful for how God has put us all together in this place and in this hour. I'm thankful to God for what He has provided, for who He has provided, and how He has protected us, and how He has shown Himself mighty in our lives. I'm thankful because He has shown Himself magnificent. I'm thankful that He has shown Himself strong in our lives, and I'm so glad that He has shown Himself to be love. God is love, and I'm so glad to know this morning that He is God all by Himself. We have so much, hallelujah, to give God praise for. This is the season of the year that our minds should be even more laser focused on what it truly means to be happy and to give thanks to each and every believer of Jesus Christ in the United States of America. The greeting itself, Happy Thanksgiving, should not be confined to just the fourth Thursday in November, but every day, hallelujah, as it comes into our mind and in our heart. Hallelujah. We should be thankful, grateful, because we know we're blessed. We ought to be thankful, grateful, because we know we're blessed. Thank you, Sister Ned. We ought to change the atmosphere and environments surrounding us and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And allow the Holy Spirit to quicken within ourselves and each other that even in this moment, on this third Sunday, that it's all right and be fitting for all of us, regardless of the time of year, to just say Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I know it's not Thursday yet, but Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving because He woke us up this morning. Happy Thanksgiving because He has allowed us to come together on this call, in this hour, in His perfect peace, and in His unspeakable joy. Happy Thanksgiving because we are right now in His presence, where two or three gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. He's already in the midst. Happy Thanksgiving because we are in His presence. We're clothed. Hallelujah. Some of us may be sitting down. Some of us may be standing up, but we're all in our right mind. Happy Thanksgiving because God is El Shaddai, and we have found Him to be more than enough. Happy Thanksgiving, hallelujah, because He is a Father for the fatherless, and He has given us another comforter. So we will not in this hour be comfortless. So we can shout glory this morning and make a joyful noise to the Lord. On this beautiful and blessed Sunday morning, we can, in the spirit of our mind, enter in His gates with thanksgiving and into the court of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost with praise. Hallelujah. With unrestrained praise. Right now, hallelujah. gentlemen, and bless his holy name, for the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting. For this morning, as I think about some of the events that transpired in this country last week, and those situations and events involved decisions that I don't quite understand because I wasn't there. I wasn't in the courtroom. I wasn't in the jury room. And I don't know all the facts, and I don't have all the facts to render a meaningful opinion about why I went down the way that it went down. But in my spirit, I know that there is something wrong, and within me there is a degree of righteous indignation. But even in as I dealt with the turmoil within my own mind, the spirit of truth came to me and quickened within my spirit, within my Christ is logical mind, and reminded me that there should be nothing or no one that should distract me from living in this 11th hour, if you will, with thanksgiving. Don't let Satan steal your joy this morning, because the joy that God has given us, the world can't take it away. So I want to share with you this morning, don't let the enemy, don't let the devil, don't let the demonic systems and spiritual wickedness who are making decisions in high places and low places steal your joy. Enter, hallelujah, with your mind and with your spirit. Enter into his gates, hallelujah, with thanksgiving. I heard David say, hallelujah, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. All times is more than just the good times. All times is more than just the so-so times. All times is more than just the bad times. All times is beyond when things are going our way. All times is beyond the blue sky and the autumn cool breeze. All times includes being in the eye of the hurricane. So don't let the enemy distract you from the reality that God is sovereign, and that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, our Lord and our Savior, is preeminent in all things. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's preeminent in all things. Am I declared by the power of God, and want to even remind us this morning, as preached to us at our district assembly some months ago by Dr. Reverend Hepburn, that we who are right now living in down faith, that we are a living church, a living church who are serving a living God. That's right, that's right. I hope you believe that with me this morning. We are a living church who are serving a living God. So let's, hallelujah, the scripture for this morning, in the context of giving God thanks, I was reminded of what King David wrote in Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, and I won't hold you much longer. And in the Psalm, beginning at verse 7, David says this. He says, lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory?
myself for appropriate consideration with the intent that the answer destroys the yoke of fear, the yoke of negativity in every area of our lives. Is this who is this King of Glory? Who is this King of Glory? I believe as we walk through scripture in the New Testament, we find that his cousin, the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, John saw him coming toward him and said about this King of Glory, "Behold, hallelujah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm just talking about who is this King of Glory. We go on and we find that at a marriage in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus was asked to supply the element of wine after it had completely run out, we see that his mother Mary directed his attention to the family's grave situation and told him, "Jesus, they have no wine." He additionally responded to his mother Mary that, "My hour has not yet come." But Mother Mary, thank God for a good mama, hallelujah, she saw in him more than enough and told the servants, "Whatever he said unto you, do it." That should encourage somebody right now, whatever you want, that whatever, hallelujah, Jesus is saying unto you, just do it. Who is the King of Glory? When he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter, who for a moment in time had been transformed beyond the shackles of flesh and bone and beyond the religious indoctrination and dogma of a dead church, Peter declared that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. So to the church of the living God who's on the line with me right now, the Spirit is asking, who is the King of Glory? We find in the scripture a demon-possessed man who saw Jesus from afar, coming out of a boat. Immediately, the same man who's possessed by a demon, he leaves the cemetery. He leaves the tombs of the dead. This man with an unclean spirit who calls itself Legion because they were many. The same man went and went to Jesus. He ran and he worshiped him. Hallelujah. The unclean spirit within the man cried out, the scriptures say, with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And Jesus, hallelujah, who is the King of Glory? Jesus, hallelujah. He said to the man, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And the unclean spirit departed. Family, the man who used to be demon-possessed was completely made whole. And the scriptures say that he was there found in the presence of the Lord, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Hallelujah. The man was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind in the presence of the Lord. So by faith, family, who is the King of Glory? There's another story that I'm reminded of involving the Samaritan woman. And about the sixth hour, around high noon, if you will, the Samaritan woman met him at Jacob's well, where Jesus asked her to give him some water to drink. The Samaritan woman She wanted to know what was going on for him to ask her to do something for him, knowing that the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. There was some racial tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. But he told us that if you just knew who's talking to you now, you would ask him for some water. And after her encounter with King Jesus, she found in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the scripture says that she got so inspired and transformed by her encounter with King Jesus that she left her water pot and she left the water that she had come for. The woman went back into the city and said unto the men that were there, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this Christ, family, who is the King of Glory? And I go on, I think about the Apostle Paul. And I know that even now, as hard as it is for us to kind of even think about it, but you know, Paul, he had a sordid lifestyle. Paul was a murderer too. Paul had been commissioned by the dead church to kill the saints of the living church and the living God. He was a murderer. But I'm so glad that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the call. And he called Paul to who was at one point in time a murderer that was saved by grace. I don't know about all of the dynamics of what happened last week, but what if it reminds us of the amazing grace that God has poured over our lives and all the time that we should be, hallelujah, sinners for this. But God said not so because of Jesus Christ and what he did for all of us on the cross. Who is this King of Glory? Paul, we find in the scripture, had been afflicted with a thorn in his flesh. And he recognized that it was God's way to keep him balanced. It was God's way of keeping him from becoming too lifted up because of the gift of his spiritual revelations. And Paul, the scripture says, sought on three occasions to have his physical infirmities. Possibly it could have been an impairment to his natural eyesight. He had wonderful insight, but he was struggling with his natural eyesight. But the Lord said unto him, he prayed three times, and he didn't get the answer that he was looking for. But the Lord said unto Paul, my grace. I don't know if anybody on the line knows about his grace, but the Lord is saying unto Paul, like he's saying unto us, hallelujah, my grace is sufficient for you, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul resolved it within himself that most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Even in my infirmities, I can say, if you will, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to the body of Christ. Who is this King of Glory? As I think about Sister Vivian McKnight, oh God, and I've got to rephrase it a little bit, but to make it clear, when you are comfortable or stuck in your most miserable feeling, and it is hard to get you out, that's when you need to be reminded of the answer to the question, who is the King of Glory? reminded of the letter written by the half-brother of Jesus, whose name is Jude, who came to know him too as the King of Glory. When you study about the life of Jude, you find, based on the historical context, that he had not been a believer before the cross. But after having experienced the power of the true resurrection, that is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jude, in his letter to those that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, Jude describes himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And Jude closed out his letter with my most favorite doxology written in the New Testament. And he closes out, as I would like to close out this morning, as we continue to give God thanks. Listen with me what you say. And why is this 11th hour? We can enter in his presence boldly. We can go before the triune God with thanksgiving and unspeakable joy. And Jude wrote this. He said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen.